Can't take this back. I legitimately watch professional wrestling.
Yes, dude!
Oh, stop!
Are you serious? Oh, are you f-ing serious?
Oh, sh-
like a night owl, right?
But if I'm like money, if you're paying me, I'll do whatever.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of After We Wrap. We are your hosts, Jaina Lee Ortiz.
And Gabriela Ortiz.
Today's guest, we've seen him in Hamilton, Station 19, Jack Ryan, American Fiction, and so much more. We are so honored to have the talented. Also, he's a Grammy winner.
He's a Grammy
winner.
Oh my gosh, he's a Grammy
everyone,
winner.
Everyone, drum roll, please. Ocriete, another one.
Yes.
You ain't going to get that kind of pronunciation when you know your name gets introduced. Do most people go, how do you pronounce your name? Yeah.
Yes.
Do you just say, Oak is fine?
I say Oak is fine. Actually, normally what I would do is like pronounce, say, Ocriete. And then if they can do it, say, kudos. If they can do it, I'm like, Oak, you know the word. It's in your lexicon. You've probably said it many times. You really can't mess that up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And some people do. They'll be like, Okie? And I'm like, how?
How? And there's no
I literally I-E said after. Oak, and then you just chose not to repeat it back. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Have you been? First of all, thank you so much for coming in.
Heck yeah.
You're in New York right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you're just out here in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
and we are blessed to have, you know, to be visited by you. Because it's been like almost 3 years since we've seen each other.
It's been a grip, yeah.
And yeah. So much has happened.
A lot has happened.
In the last 3 years, yeah. We have some catching up to do that we'll do on camera, but then there's going to be some other catching up to do that we'll do off camera.
Talk shop.
So hold on a second. We're going to go way back because I actually didn't even know this. You used to play football. In high school?
Yes.
How come I didn't know?
I don't know. I mean, like, work was a lot. You know, we had other things to focus on.
Right, right.
But yeah, no, I used to play ball and I got injured and that's kind of how I got into this. Yeah, fractured my femur. And then that was kind of like the end of my sports career. And, you know, I started performing and doing acting and things like that. But no, otherwise I would have been playing ball fully concussed. That was the plan.
Was that the transition into acting
while you were in
high school? Because you got injured?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to play ball. Like, I wanted to play football and then, like, go to college and then maybe go, like, I thought that's, like, you know, what my track was going to be. And then the fracture was really, really bad at that time. Snapped my femur in half, then got up and walked on it just on adrenaline.
Wow.
And each half cracked further. So I was just kind of, like, out for maybe about 2 years just from doing any kind of real sports thing, just from rehab. It's crazy. All that happened also during 9/11. So it was just like, it was nuts.
Crap.
Just nuts, nuts, nuts. So, yeah.
But now at least you can play a football character.
And all this sports discipline just helps with this business. It's so true.
Even dancing.
I mean, that background of discipline really helps in what we do. Of just, you show up no matter what and you're as good as your last game. And kind of, you have to stay at the top of your game. Because in sports, you can't chill.
Yeah.
You win a great, you win a championship. If you really want to be great, then you're like, guess what I'm about to do next year?
Mm-hmm.
Win that bitch again. So I'm going to have to keep working hard.
Yep. Yep.
And some performers or actors, if they don't have that, they just get lazy.
So true. I did a play over the strike and I had no idea what. Yeah. I have a newfound respect for theater actors. Also, yeah. I remember thinking, why don't they get paid more? Because the amount of work, the attention to every single detail that you, I mean, also you depend tremendously on your cast members. Like on TV, let's just go back to the premiere of this season 7, second day of working. I had that emotional scene and Gray was sick. He didn't show up. So they used a sticker for my eyeline and his stand-in read his dialogue. And I was like, okay, but I was already warmed up from that play because I said, if I can do theater, you really can. And after that, I was like, oh my gosh, this is an eye-opening experience and wow. So the fact that also, you know, theater actors can sing and have that, that's a whole nother level. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how you do it.
But you were playing football and did you study music also? Or
I always sang. And I did. I took like chorus and actually me and my dear friend Matt Minch, we were the only two vocalists who took music theory. So we took music theory in high school, right. And that's when I started playing piano and all that stuff. But
when did you know you could sing? Because some people can that sing think that they can sing, but they really it's
Then they find out that they
can. Yeah, when was that? When did you know, like, oh, I actually sound?
Well, like, I'm Nigerian, so we're pretty cold-blooded. So when you're singing, you're young. If you can't sing, people be like, I don't think that's for you. I don't think that's for my ears.
Right.
So, like, no, but my sisters all sang, and we all sang, would listen to songs and come up with harmonies and all that stuff. One of my sisters does not have the best voice. And as we've grown older, we've been better about not reminding her of that. But but ever since, like, I was young, always singing with my sisters, we always sang.
Can you share of a moment during your time in Hamilton that impacted you and you understood what this story was about and its impact? And was there a moment where you realized, oh, wow, this is a big deal?
There are many moments, but one moment was the cast. We really bonded together over this. It was a kind of a crazy experience to have, whereas very much so you're only as good as your last game. So every night, like, you think you're doing well, and then you're like, hey, just kidding, Rick Rubin's coming tomorrow. Hey, just kidding, Harry Belafonte is going to be here. And I always like to know. So you can never rest, because the entire time we're doing that show, like, everyone was come. Everyone's idol at some point came. Dave came, Dave Chappelle. Love Dave Chappelle for me, but just different people. So, like, Tyra Banks, and one girl really loved Tyra Banks, so that was her person. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, Jay-Z, Beyonce came. Like, everyone came, from the Clintons to the Obamas, met them twice, went to the White House. It was just kind of nuts, but we could never chill, because we always had to go back the next night and kill it.
Does that help you, like, knowing that they're in the audience, or would you rather not even?
Because it depends. Some people, some actors, it really doesn't help. For me, it did. The last show, I just did Doll's House on Broadway. Right, that was the last. Right. That was the last piece I did. That show did not help. For some odd reason, that one, I was like, yeah. I don't. That was a very difficult show. Mm. For those who don't know, it was just my boy Jamie Lloyd directing it, but it was just really stripped down, and there were no costumes, no set changes. There was just really one spotlight, and we're on stage the whole time in chairs for about 2 hours.
I know, so, I'm sad I didn't get the chance to go out there.
You just sit there in the scenes where you sit in a chair and you just do your scene like you're in class. So it's just really stripped down. If you're not dropped in, if you're not there, it just wouldn't work. Jessica Chastain, Michael Patrick Thornton, Ari did it as well. Jezmeel, that was the cast, and everyone was just knocking it out of the park. But for that show, and that was another show where just people, because of Jessica, just people would just come. Al Pacino, I was like, oh, he was there, cool. And they're just random folks would just come that you wouldn't expect to see. So for that show, because it was so nerve-wracking, and it was just emotionally really, it wasn't fun. It wasn't 2 hours of fun. It was just a heavy show for 2 hours. Everyone's just sitting in that room like fuzz. So for that one, I did not want to know.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I just got to do my show.
Okay. Yeah.
And there was no singing in that one as well. Did you miss that part of being on stage?
I did, and I do, but I'm very project-based. So that project didn't call for it. And for what it was very, very difficult to do for 3 months. Like, emotionally, it was like a lot. But because I believed in the piece, and because of how moved people were by it, it's like, I can do that for 3 months. Now, if I did it like a show like that and everyone's just like, whatever the fuck ever, they don't really care, it kind of just makes it more difficult. But when everyone's actually impacted by the piece, same thing with Hamilton, same thing. I just did Jelly's Last Jam at City Center Encores. When people are moved, I can come back and do it again. Because we saw how moved people were with Hamilton, it's like, yeah, we got to hit it again. We got to hit it again. We got to hit it again. And that show was really just a cast of people who always were going for the top. Everyone in that show was the hardest working person in their show. And they just put us all together in one show.
Talk to us about your routine after you get home from set or a show. Like, after a long day.
It really depends on, like, it really, each show is like different. Jelly's Last Jam, I just did that on Encores. It was great. I'm singing, I'm having a great time. I have the Princess track. I sing the shit out of a song in the beginning. I come back at the end. So afterwards, it's just chill, easy vibes. Dollhouse, smoked a whole J down and walked for half a mile every day after the show. Oh,
you walked?
Oh, yeah. After I would walk from the theater, I would just walk for at least maybe like a mile. Mile and a half just to get the show out.
Wow. Yeah.
It's just emotionally draining.
Oh, yeah. What was your show?
I didn't do eight shows a week. I did Was it Saturday, Sunday, Friday?
I thought it was weekends. Yeah.
Yeah. It was at a black box theater. We did Mauritius and we did it for 6 weekends. And even that, but having to turn it off and then keep it off for a whole week and then turning it back on. I was exhausted. I was exhausted just from the rehearsals. After four That's hours, tough. I came home like, I don't want to see anyone, do anything. No one touch me, be around me. I almost felt like going back to Station 19 would feel like a break. Because that's, you know, easy peasy. Yeah, those 14 hours on set. I mean, now I'm like, I can't. I don't have a life. But nothing is like a play. Nothing is like being on
stage. But if you remember, I'd be like, for shame. This isn't great. Don't emulate this. But I would like come, I would like learn, I would look at it that day and like on the day and be like, I'll be back. And then just like memorize stuff. And
a lot of actors do that. Like that's their process. And now that's how I've having the, you know, just the experience of it the night before. And sometimes the day off, if it's small enough, the day of is fine. But the night before, look at them and then, you know, good to go.
But I also found two things. One, that's when I was getting real lazy. I think I told you there's a point where.
Because it, you
I said
know,
some stuff, but there was just a point where I was just like, I've lost faith in what I do doing this show, and you know, I told the showrunners and everyone, and I think it was, I forget what season it was, I think they're like, oh, what do you want? And I was like, I want to have faith in what I do again, like whatever's been happening, it ain't it. No shade to anybody.
No, you want to feel challenged. Yeah. You want to have that creative appetite for like, I'm excited to do this scene.
Yeah.
I know that there's not, you know, the beats are not going to be taken away because, you know, and it's going to be sacrificed for cinematic whatever.
Yes. And in plays, you have full control. Like as much as I love procedural and episodic television because it bought me a house.
Congratulations. Okay.
Heck yeah. Like everyone said, oh, do a TV show and get a house. And I'm like, heard. I'm going to write that down. But the difficult thing is it's like when you're doing plays, I've been around, like people have had readings. People have read these scenes. It's gone. It's been around for years. You can covet it. It's tough sometimes when you get on some sets and the writers are like, it's precious. And I'm like, it's not. I've worked on very precious material. This fucking ain't it. Like you wrote this last night. You know, I've worked on with people who've written shit 60 years ago. Right. It ain't the same.
Right.
You know, and that's the only hard thing.
Because it's the formula, right?
Yes. Of
like the procedure.
Only when they hold it so precious. That's what I was like. I mean, you know, I barely said whatever they wrote. I constantly took it and I was like, sure, this is a lovely suggestion. Yep. I will take this and let's find a way to like make it work.
Right.
And all of that just comes from theater.
Because
when you're up there, you know, once
that's
it starts,
what I
if
loved
it goes
about
wrong,
it is the control. Like, it's mine. Mm-hmm. I can, and you can only control so much on, you know, TV, especially the network. And then it just means so much more to you because you're involved in it. You're like, you're so ingrained in the creative process that you feel like, you're connected. You're more connected to it.
You get it. And now that you've done it, once you're up there, especially with a play, musicals are difficult. Musicals, there's a metronome.
Yeah, you don't want to
hear
me sing.
Sometimes it's annoying where I'm like, I want to take a moment with plays, fucking forget about it. If I'm up there and I feel like it, I'll just, you know, when I'm ready and then we start it. And if you're going to get mad, you're going to yell at me and I may or may not do it tomorrow. And if you fire me, like, that's really up to you. But like, it's not going to happen.
I know, right? The connection that you have with the audience and how it changes every single
day.
Yeah.
And you can't go back and watch, you know, it's just it happens live and then you move on and
you
forget.
Move on.
I know. I'm like I left that play that I left that experience like being in love with theater and like wanting to do so much more. Cause you truly feel alive. Like it's the most alive. You know, and on TV you're hitting your mark. It's very technical. Let me do that again. There's no.
Did you miss lines or anything?
Oh my God. I was so upset. It was only once. And that was the day that Barrett showed up.
Sometimes it gets in your head. I know. Sometimes you get
pissed.
In your head.
I was so pissed. I was like, you missed it. You missed my.
Did you know you missed it when you missed her or was hindsight?
Yes, I did. And I, you know, you beat yourself about it.
Yeah, you got to keep
backstage.
Going.
Yeah, that's all you can do. And everyone's like, no, I didn't notice. Well, I did.
You did, yeah.
And you got to find the mofo that's real. That's like, yeah, girl, I noticed, but you handled that well.
Exactly.
And it's like, you the real one.
That was Jay.
Yeah. It's like, no, you missed it, but you did that well. Like for theater, I find like you need someone that's like, thank you.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. I love it.
After winning the Grammy for Hamilton, Has your perspective changed on musical theater?
No. It does not make me look at anything differently from winning the Grammy. It was dope to win it and also win the Tony, because at that time it was a surreal experience, you know, going to the Tonys and everyone would say, congrats, man. Like, everyone was just like, you guys are going to win it. It was, I can't articulate what that's like. Mm-hmm. And I've been back mm-hmm. to the Tonys and it's not the same. I've been to the Tonys, the musical that nobody cared about. Rocky the Musical was great. No one cared. So it was wild to be there. And it was kind of like our Tonys. Like, everyone was just like, you guys got everything. Everyone was just like, the show was great. We just want to like celebrate you all winning all the things. Winning the Grammy is the same way, where it's just kind of like, it was just expected in a way, but we didn't take advantage mm-hmm. of it coming, even though it was expected. Yeah. It was like, we worked really hard and we're very, very, very grateful. But Hamilton is really such a thing unto itself that all the time during the show, everyone's like, oh my God, it's going to change theater. And I was like, man, we'll see. It has and it hasn't, because I think it's an outlier.
Yeah.
It's a thing that stands on its own. And then there's all these other things that'll do that'll fall right back into the zeitgeist. But it's just kind of like outside of itself. So I think, I don't even know if the changes we'll really see, we won't see until maybe another 10 years from now to really see how it permeates. Mm-hmm. But right now, Hamilton just said, if there's a hip hop musical or something, there's a space for it. Mm-hmm. But I would love to see that be part of the 7 or 8 of them happening, along with your Wickeds, along with your Sondheim plays, along with whatever, what have you. I would like to be it more of a genre of musical theater as opposed to like a moment in musical theater.
Yeah. Gotcha. I'm sorry, I don't know if I, because I remember when Lin presented Hamilton to the Obamas, was he by himself? Were you cast before? Were you?
No, part that of first the, one, I think it was just him.
Just him, mm-hmm. where he talks about like everyone laughed at him, was like, about it. What are you putting? What is this show about Alexander Hamilton? Like, nobody knows. And he's like, no. He felt very confident about what he was creating. So I was curious, were you cast when he presented it, or was the second later. Time? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you being in a room with all of these politicians, like, how did you feel? How did it feel just presenting this piece in front of the people that run the politics?
Oh, fine. Like, it was just cool.
You're just like, cool. This is cool. We're just singing
a
song.
Being in the White House, being able to visit the White House when Obama was there. Especially mm-hmm. considering what has happened since.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of a real moment. And everyone was so welcoming, and him and Michelle were great. And everyone was like, yeah, come on. We were invited in, and they're like, all right, bye. I'm like, what? You guys are going to supervise? They're like, no, you guys are cool. If you just wander around this floor, and if you need anything, holler at us. It was very, 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 it was kind of insane and surreal. It was nervous, of course, because we were, you know, it's stripped down of everything, and like Obama's there and Michelle's there. But once you get in the groove, it's like, you just got to trust it's in your body. You've done it enough times. And when you're looking at smiling faces and you feel like everybody wants you to be there, it makes it a bit easier.
Yeah.
Wow. So, is there anything like about the process of like getting
in? No, it's just security. It's just security like any other government building. And it was kind of weird because it wasn't anything special. I was expecting something else, but everyone was like, once you're cleared, they're like, we trust you, you're good.
Oh.
And they just like went about. So I forget what floor I was on, but I just started wandering around the White House. I was like, oh, look at this and look at that picture. And we shot all over the place and they gave us so much free rein. It was a trip.
That's crazy.
That's pretty cool.
Your role in Aid in Jack Ryan, which I have yet to watch, showcased a different side of your acting skills. How did you prepare for this character compared to your theatrical roles?
It's
like the same.
It was great. We shot in Budapest and John is awesome.
Yeah, Budapest. How was Budapest?
Ooh. It's beautiful.
Is that your first time?
It was my first time there, and a lot of stuff shoots out there. Actually, there was, when I was out there, maybe 3 other shows were shooting
and
out there as well.
This was pre-COVID, right?
This was during. This was right after.
That's right.
Yeah, this was right after I left, mm-hmm. this happened, mm-hmm. you know. So I was just like, fuzzy, great. It was dope. Like, the great thing about, you know, Station 19 was, it was kind of, for me, like my masterclass in just acting for TV and film. Mm-hmm. And I was very, very grateful for that experience, where I was like, I had a chance to just learn at the top, where like, it's, you got head DP guys, head sound guys, mm-hmm. head best boy, mm-hmm. like all the people are in their bag. And all I did was just walk around and ask people stuff. Like, I don't know what that means. I don't know what this means. I have no idea what's happening. So I left because I was like, okay, I got all the things I needed. Now I want to apply this to other stuff. So it was just perfect. Like Jack Ryan popped up. I know John. So he was just like, yeah, come out. He's a solid dude, man. Like they weren't necessarily going to give me what I needed. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I want you in the show. And I was like, I appreciate the hell out of that.
Shout
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Shout out to John Krasinski, man. He's a good dude. And it was cool. It was cool to just completely dive into something completely different, a different style of shooting, but it was lovely to be overseas. I was there for like 3 months.
Did you get homesick? Oh, cool.
No. I mean, I wrote a lot. I also write. So I just took it as like this European retreat. So I'd shoot for a day and then I just chill. And because of COVID, they're like, we don't want you going back and forth. So I stayed in the flat for 3 months in Budapest and just kind of wrote, skated around, got like food, would have like coffee somewhere.
You still got your skateboard, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Talking about Station 19, mm-hmm. You know, we've had other cast members come on and celebrate the moments, mm-hmm. right? Because 7 years, 7 seasons,
yeah,
6 years, 7 seasons, a lot has happened.
Oh, heck yeah.
What was your, I have my most memorable moment of Oak, as I feel like a lot of us share. What was one of your funniest memories? And what is the thing you've missed the most?
What is your most memorable of Oak? I'm so curious now.
Every time we were in the Beanery, mm-hmm. and we had those scenes where we would eat, Oak would eat like a box of cereal in one take. And then we would have to turn around, not in one take, but like on, you know, master, then go in for everyone's coverage. And then we would turn around and he would like open up another box. Like he would actually eat.
That's theater.
And go in. And go in. And we would be like, oh, you're going to get full. Are you not? Like, you've got to be sick of cereal. And he's like, oh, I got to do it. I know I ate too much. But you would like really commit with the food.
Yeah. Towards the end, I learned. But that was totally not learning. Yeah. Because I'm like, it's got to be consistent. You got to do it. I'm not going to half-ass it. So bring on the cereal.
Yeah.
But no, by the end, I learned. I was like, yeah, I can't.
If you were to choose a food that you would eat on camera, what would it be? Would it be just protein, veggies, or would you go in on the carbs?
Well, now I'm like a learned human and I'm aging. So it would probably be veggies or something. Probably.
Yeah, because you would go in on everything, the bacon.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
It didn't matter. He would just eat what
but
was
that's also
plate.
A secret thing that I wanted. I constantly, if we're in the Beanery, I kind of wanted Dean to constantly be consuming or eating something.
oh, we don't have enough.
And I'm like, well, sort it out, man. Yeah.
We ran out.
True, yeah, sometimes. You ate all the boxes. I'm just kind of like, how? It's ABC, man. Disney, what are you doing? You ran out of cereal? $3.99 a box and you ran out of cereal?
I know. They're like, well, we didn't think you were going to eat it all. What is the thing you'd miss the most?
You or guys, like, really. Yeah, hanging out with you guys, honestly, because it's like towards the end I was like ready to move on, so like the show was fine. So the thing I really really missed was just hanging with y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Truly. And like the crew was great and being on set was awesome and it was just like a good vibe.
Yeah
And towards the end it just felt like senior year, you know. I've been there for a while, so you'd have directors come in and I can say fuck off and they like got it. So it was like it was just
well,
really
he wouldn't really say fuck off, but he'd be like, okay,
I'd be very close. sometimes
it'd be like, oh, can you when you go over there to grab the cup and come back, can you like give a look or something like that? He would be like, and he'd turn to me, Not gonna do it. Yeah, it's okay.
That's a classic trade theater secret, by the way. I'm gonna tell you
right
now.
That's what Paris always suggests. If you don't like a note, say, all right, I'll try.
Do what you want.
Just do what you want anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm. And make sure it's dialed in and make sure it's good.
You can actually try it, but if it doesn't feel right, then it's like, then you're gonna see a forced performance.
Precisely.
Then, you know, like at least I tried it, but yeah. Sometimes you're like, ah, it doesn't.
And on stage, it's great because on stage, you're like, I don't know if that joke works. And you go on night and you do it and everyone laughs. And I'm like, oh, really? Guess that joke didn't work.
Yep. Hilarious. Well,
did I answer what my
funniest? Oh, the funniest.
The funniest thing.
Memory.
Well, can't say that.
Oh, man. We'll find out off camera.
Mm-hmm. It was me, you, and someone having a conversation, and you cried. That's the funniest moment.
Oh.
That is a fun. Yeah, that was a very funny moment for
me. Oh. I think I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Remember, you were like,
oh, when the, one of the mm-hmm. guest stars came in and she was like,
no.
Oh, okay. So mm-hmm. then I don't know.
Okay.
Now I need to know.
Funny.
I almost cried while talking to someone else.
No, we were talking with someone and then I was talking with someone and you were like, this is very uncomfortable. And you cried a little bit because I just did not have time that day.
Oh, I do remember. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Oak was kind of at his, he was
whoa.
Just, I was there.
I do remember.
And I was like, we have to.
I actually forgot who that person was, but I do remember the moment. We were outside.
We were outside. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's one thing. Oak will shoot it straight. You're from Brooklyn, yes. Right?
Jersey.
Damn it. That's because early I was like, Brooklyn. But yeah, you're from Jersey.
I'm from Jersey. Mm-hmm.
But you lived in Brooklyn at one point?
I lived in Brooklyn. I've lived everywhere in the city. But originally, truly Jersey person. Jersey people will let
Jersey
you know. We're from Jersey.
All right, Jersey.
Other funniest moment besides that. I don't know. I can't think of, but just, I miss Paris. Paris so much. Sparkly. Yeah. He'd have a way to say things and it kind of make people laugh, but it hurt people's feelings. He's but he's just been around for so long that it's like, man, I wish you would. He's done seen and done. Like, he was a gay black man directing LL Cool J, openly gay. Like, that is a tough stuff, mm-hmm. you know? And he's just been, he was a mentor to me and really helped me out a bunch. But I love just how he commanded the set, how he kept it light. But he was also just kind of old school. So he would get in your ass sometimes.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, he just hit a hard left turn just to remind you, like, hey, get your shit together. And I appreciated that.
Yeah. But
a lot of those times, I think, in Paris.
Well, your presence is definitely missed.
Well,
like we mentioned earlier, we would look at your picture that's in the reception and we'd be like, yeah, Oak, we'll see you again one day. One of these days.
Yeah. I miss hanging
still
with
there,
you guys.
By the way. That picture's still there. And your name is constantly mentioned in the stories, you know.
My favorite scene I've ever had in this business, I'd make top three. One was with him.
Really? Oh, yes.
Yeah, man. That was great, man. That was a really good. You're in it, bro.
Oh, that's right. I remember that was the classic Golden God.
Golden God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that scene a lot. And I liked how they cut it.
Yeah.
Normally sometimes how they edit and whatnot.
What is something that not too many people know about you?
Oh.
That you would like for us to know?
I can't take this back. I legitimately watch professional wrestling.
Yes, dude!
Stop! Are you serious?
Oh,
are you fucking serious?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I did as a kid. And then, like, a couple years ago, because of Hulu, you can stream it now, like, anything. And, like, when I was a kid, I watched it, and at one point I wanted to, and then, like, you know, you stopped. And then I was just like, I'm doing stuff around the house, and I just put it on. And, like, the past 2 years, I've just been, like, watching it, like, catching up. Like, oh, I missed Raw. I have to catch up on it. It's been so
We just interviewed. Not a guest. No, not a wrestler.
Not a wrestler.
Maybe
yeah.
one day. Hmm. Roman.
Roman. Hi. Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm. Roman Reigns. Don't cut the what's his last name.
Yeah.
Maybe one day. Roman Reigns. Anyway, no, we just we had a guest on, Kathy Kelly, a host of WWE. And Paul Elia, a comedian actor who also enjoys wrestling. So wrestling, we've been hearing a lot of wrestling happening.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been enjoying the episode. Yeah, yeah. And I like watch it, not on a ride, like, oh, wrestling. I'm like, okay, what's going on? I'm going to catch up.
Would you play a wrestler?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You'd kill
there
it.
Was a show, I can't remember the fantastic.
Oh, yeah, Glow?
No. A play that I think Terrence Archie, shout out to Terrence Archie, originated, but it was just like, it was wrestling. And I did Rocky the Musical, which was boxing on stage, but this was before that. And they built like a ring and they would learn how to like take bumps and they would learn how to like do wrestling moves. And it was about this wrestler and his entrance and his story and his life. It debuted like years ago. But yeah, I totally would. Would I ever do anything with WWE? I don't know about that, but but yeah.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Oh, my okay, gosh. We're gonna go a bit off. Whatchamacallit?
Yeah.
Change gears a bit. We ask everyone this, but if you were to be stuck on an island, what are the three things you couldn't live without? I think I know one of them.
It's changed. Yeah. Really? Well, the first one would be my lady. I couldn't live without her. I would want her to be there with me. I truly could just be on an island stuck with her. She drives me absolutely insane. Truly. But I'm like, but I want that. I would want that. Number two, fuzz. I mean, sure, like the good green, that would totally be there. The little marijuanas would be there for number two.
That was my.
Yeah, no, I thought about it. I was like, if that's all I have, it'll replenish itself, right? Yeah. Like it'll just keep coming back.
Well, you'll grow it. Just
oh yeah, or if there's garden, like a plot line, and like yeah, gross, sure. That's number two. I guess a number three would definitely be a notebook with a pen. Does that count? Can that be one thing or those two items? I'd say a notebook with a pen. Because that's how else you're going to document things, log days. I'm just thinking that way. If you're stuck, you'd go nuts. I thought about maybe music, but if I had to do three, those would be the three. Or actually, no. Let's do M'lady, maybe an MP3 device that has all the music that's ever been created, and a notebook.
Okay, I like that. I like that. Those that's nice. What's your
biggest fear?
I know.
I mean, like lots of things. One fear is not fully realizing my potential, or not pushing myself to my artistic limit. Like not feeling as if I've really, really, really done stuff where I was like, I don't even know how I got through that, but I can look back and say, yeah, you know, not doing things that have people ask how he did it. And I feel like that's for me. I wanted people to see what I do. I'm like, how did you do that? Like fuzzier that I'm doing something right. So not really living up to that, I'd say would be a fear.
I love that. Is there a question that normally people don't ask you during interviews or podcasts and whatnot that you want them to ask you?
I really want people to ask me questions.
You don't really. You're like, don't
rarely.
Just,
whenever people start, I'm just kind of like, I just ask them about them, and we flip it that way.
Yeah.
They're really. I can't think of anything. Like if I'm working on something, no, can't think of nothing.
Yeah,
I know. Really one. I feel like you're the same way.
You know, yeah, and you know, it's funny because Morris Chestnut is a person who does this a lot. I'll ask him a question about himself, and immediately he'll switch it and put it on me. What do you like to do? What did you get into this weekend? Bah, 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 bah. He'll switch it. And I've learned that when I, especially, you know, some days I don't want to share, but also I do want to be interested in other people. Like I guess this business is all about us and like sharing things. And sometimes, you know, you want to take a break from that.
Yeah.
Right. And so you just want to, you know, I don't know, but when just like acting, putting the attention on somebody else. Someone else.
And LA is just very so great for that because people in LA love to talk about themselves.
Right. And that's, in acting class, I remember there was this acting coach that said, when you are interested, you become interesting. You know what I mean? Like if you walk into a room with whatever, I guess, casting directors, executives, and you feel like the eyes are on you, put the attention on the other people and, you know, pay attention. Remember that man's eye color or this woman's blouse or that person's, you know, whatever, their hair. And you just being interested in them makes you more interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm. And the only way you can do that for all those actors is by doing your work at home and make sure you come prepared. because a lot of people don't. So then they can't focus on, that's the importance of, I'm going to preach for a little bit, of preparation, knowing your lines, doing your stuff at home ahead of time, so that when you walk in the room, I got to think about that.
Yes,
all I can do is focus on you and focus on you. Cool, cool, cool. I've had auditions where like the casting director will want to chat. Like, hey, look, how you been?
I know. And you don't know how to like just... I'd like to just I'm already in my moment before and ready to start the scene. Maybe we can catch up a little, maybe right after. But yeah, it's a hard transition.
It's a hard one. And I learned the only way is just to be so prepared that you can be like, sure. Let's have a chat. Wow. Let's do the thing. Oh my gosh, and then when they're ready, it's like, cool. Just give me like a few minutes to get back in it.
That's right.
But to be so prepared that I'm like, we can jump into this. I just need a minute beforehand. So if that happens, because I've had a lot of great conversations and connections made from that time in between. And just saying like, I'm so ready. Let's sit and chat and talk and whatever. And then when we get into it, then you fucking nail it.
Yeah.
And it's like, great. Yep. If you don't get the part, I love chatting with that person. It was good stuff. Make smart choices. Come, you know, all of those things.
Yeah, know your stuff. Really quick before we get into a rapid fire this or that, what advice would you give Oak 10 years ago?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No, I really,
really
wouldn't. No, because I'm like, how I process the world, where I see everyone, you're gonna have stuff. You're gonna, no matter how you were raised, you come up in this world, there will be stuff. Now it's what that stuff is, and do you have a grasp on it? I got stuff. But like, I know what it is and I'm getting a grasp on it. So it's like, why would I change that? Why would I tell him anything else? I don't know what new trauma is, what new stress is, what new baggage would come. I'm coming to peace with the baggage that I have. And that's, you know, old school Buddha shit. You know, it's like, I don't have to change the road. The road is the road.
Right.
If that boulder's in the road, there's nothing wrong with the road. That boulder's a part of it. So either I go around the boulder or I go over the boulder, but I don't curse the fates and pray it was never there. Who am I?
Right.
We might say that this isn't what it should be. I don't have nothing. It is what it is. Figure it out. You know, the end. Now this is what you got, what you gonna do. So that's why I really wouldn't tell my younger self really anything.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like butterfly effect. Who knows where that would take me? And,
exactly. Yeah. And there's so much regret in that too. Yeah. Like, oh, I coulda, shoulda, would've. And
And I know.
I know, right? All right, Oak, with the wisdom.
I was gonna ask too, what advice you have to aspiring young actors who want to do musical theater, selfishly only also trying to get advice from you, from someone who's like really wanting to do the transition from film into musical theater but has never had the classical training to be in musical theater. So it's like, what advice do you
she's asking for her Gabby's asking for Gabby.
I mean, the main thing I would say is always study. If you haven't, go somewhere to get used to, take like just a straight acting class, not an on-camera acting class. They're very different things. No shade to on-camera acting. It ain't the same shit. You want to study in like a technique where you get used to sitting in a room and talking with someone, and that's it. You don't rely on the set. You don't rely on edits. You don't rely on any of that shit. It's just like, can I be compelling like we are right now sitting talking? People watch this. We don't have fucking shit flashing in the back. They're not crazy costumes, so on and so forth. But it's so grounded and honest that that's, people will watch an interview. We'll watch Barbara Walters talk to someone for an hour. Sounds crazy. No, it works because it's honest and they're talking about some real shit and it's engaging.
Yes.
And when you study just acting technique in that space, you get grounded in that. You get used to saying, this is the event. I'm not like, wait, where's the camera going to be? So it's going to hit me this way. Cool. That's going to influence my performance. No, I influence my performance.
I am
the deciding factor of how this goes. Your job is to capture it and capture it well. And if you don't, I'll be pissed. You know what I'm saying?
That is
your job.
Yes.
My job is to do the thing. You know, that's what a documentary is. That's what reality TV allegedly is. It's like they're just capturing truth. It's far more compelling. And the only way you can really get to that is getting used to sitting in a room with folks with not everybody watching and be like, I don't make us believe you in this room. Do this scene across from this person, and I want to believe that you're feeling everything you're feeling. That's the best way. So when you get on stage I performed in front of thousands of people, big old houses. At the end of the day, this is what matters. Everyone just happens to be watching what we're doing, you know, but this needs to be real and grounded. Right. So I'd say
I felt that just with him.
Just,
you know,
that's it. So I'd say study and then also learn your fucking lines. It's so simple. It's so simple. And you hear that all the time. And I used to teach, but it's because of what I was saying before. Mm. I don't want to see you trying to remember your lines. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see that shit. It's boring. Mm-hmm. If I know my lines, now I can watch you see all that. Because when we're talking, there's so many other things that are happening. But there's a whole conversation from body language. Mm-hmm. Is your eyebrow doing something weird? You kind of look down in that moment. An example I would say, and this is, we're getting into some work. I'd say, like, you know, if you're with a crush when you were younger, you're watching everything. You'll be talking to them. If they just raise their eyebrows slightly, you're like, shit, what does that mean? Are they into it? Are they not into it?
Yeah,
if you're talking and as you're talking to them, they just look away casually, like they're so total. They're just bored. They're bored. They're tired. All of that, you need to be that connected with someone. You can't do that if you're thinking about your lines.
Mm.
You can't see all those subtle things that they're doing if you're just thinking about your lines. And you know, you see that on set sometimes. You're doing a scene and they're just kind of giving that glass.
They're
just saying things and you're like, so I'd say for if you are coming into theater, just memorize them, not TV memorize them. Memorize them so they're in your bones.
In your body, yep.
So you can then play with what's happening on stage. So if one day someone accidentally falls, you can play off of that and not worry about whether or not, you know, that's what good improv is and all that stuff comes from. So I'd say for theater, those are the two things. Because when you're on stage, we will see you try and remember your lines and it's boring.
Yep. So true. So true.
Mm-hmm.
Like that much more visible. All right. This is a quick this or that, rapid fire, no thinking.
Wait, where is it? Oh, wait, this one.
Did you get, are you receiving that? Are you receiving that?
Yeah, I'm processing it. Hold on a second. Also, are you teaching any classes?
No, I wasn't, but I was thinking about it.
Okay, let me know.
Oak the instructor. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
All right. Book reading or Netflix binging?
Netflix binging.
Early morning or late night shoots?
I'm indifferent to either one, but if I had to choose.
But you're not a morning person. You're like a night owl, right?
But if I'm like, money, if you're paying me, I'll do whatever.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
You need me there at 6 a.m.? Great. Love 6 a.m.
I love 6 a.m.
I love 6 a.m. that day.
Cool. We're working all night. Bet. You paying me? I'm here. You're paying me to be here. No? So let's go.
Right.
But if I had to choose, I don't know. Say late night.
Late night. Okay.
Okay.
Gym workouts or dance rehearsals?
Gym workouts.
Alien invasion or zombie apocalypse?
Alien invasion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Time travel to the past or future?
Future.
Pineapple and pizza. Yes or no?
Sure. Yeah.
He said sure. He was like, maybe. I don't care. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, you also, you're not a picky eater.
Why?
Right?
Why? You just can't do it?
Pineapple on pizza.
Can't do it?
No. Really?
Yeah. A lot of people can't. A lot of people love it.
A lot of people can't.
But not as many people. More people don't prefer it.
Where are they from?
Yeah.
Are they from the East Coast who can't
stand
it? I
don't know, but some people, they love pineapple on pizza.
I wouldn't say I love it, but I'm not like offended by it.
Okay.
Meaning like I'd see it and if I was bored enough, I'd try to see if they did it well because I've had it done well.
Oh, okay.
But like, yeah. So I'd say, yeah, let them eat cake.
Okay.
Hilarious.
Ooh. Where were we? Hold on. Hamilton or The Great Comet?
It's a very funny question without any context. wow, that's tough. They're both very beautiful shows. I can't decide. They're very different. Okay. I can't decide.
Broadway musicals or TV dramas?
Man, see, it all depends on what it is.
Yeah, I know. It's a hard one.
I'd say a TV drama.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to buy another house, bro. Like,
dale.
That was me. Okay, playing historical figures or fictional characters?
Fictional characters.
Yeah. Singing or acting?
Yeah, I don't know. Can't choose.
I know. You're like two in one with that one. Go ahead.
Oh. Hercules Mulligan or James Madison?
Also can't choose. It's based on the mood in the day. Yeah. People ask, and I'm like, they're both very specific parts of myself. Mm. So it's like there's some days I'm like, yes, act one. And other days it's like, I just need to get through act one so I can just be disgruntled and annoyed. So it really just depends.
I love it. Well, oh my goodness. We won't ask you any more questions. We'll just take in all the nuggets, the nuggets of wisdom that you know shared with us. So good to have you and chat with you.
I would sit here for another hour. Yeah,
she'll pick your brain
just,
all
like,
day on musical theater.
Teach me.
Yeah.
But you love it.
I mean, I'm glad you want to. I think, like, theater is really remarkable. I'm glad you had that experience. Oh, and I remember when I was out here, I would tell everybody, you got to do theater, you got to do theater. I told John when I first met him, John Krasinski, I was like, you got to keep doing theater. It's just something different about it. And there's just something different about being in the space with everyone. I would say when Obama came, the beautiful thing was he came to see the show. Everyone said, oh my God, Obama's here. And then when the show started, everyone looked forward. Everyone just looked forward. And it was like, we are all now here together. He was there. There were some kids who paid $10 over in the front row. Like you can't get a private viewing of theater. You can't get a link sent to you. You can't get a special whatever for film and everything. Yep. You have to be there.
Yeah.
Period. If you want to see the show, it literally brings
so
people
present
together.
In the
so
moment.
Present.
Like, yeah.
And there's nothing about seeing that personally. You can watch a movie, but if you in New York and you ride the subway, if you hear someone sobbing in the corner, that's more compelling than any fucking Scorsese film you can think of. If you see someone really trying to keep it together, you're feeling it. You're feeling it. Mm-hmm. You can feel that energy, you know, when they're there. And that's the importance of theater is that you have to be grounded because people smell bullshit from a mile away.
Yeah.
There are no quick cuts. There are no quick edits.
Yeah.
You can tell when someone's not there. So, it's the
like,
reason.
It's the most truest, I guess, it's like a lie detector in its truest form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could just smell bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But live performance in general, that's why you can listen to a Beyonce record all day. You will still find a way to get to that concert all the way in the back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is something different about being there, being in the space, being in the room. And it's a shame that in theater, we don't get paid as much for what we do. It's not as recognized, but there are a lot of other issues. It's a tough industry. You know, with inflation, you can't add seats. You can only add prices to seats, which changes like who gets to see the show, who has access to the shows, forces theaters to want to bank on, you know, existing IPs to make sure that people will come see it because things are so expensive. Yeah. So it's a really, really tough industry to stay innovative and to stay on the forefront of things because, you know, those risks can require losses that people just don't want to take. But the only way that can be is if people go and see it.
I know. That's
if you go and see shows because they will take chances on something because like people will come see it. And it's tough, you know, to spend that much money. And it's a conundrum in itself. But yeah, go see it. And if you're an actor, do it. Get your power back. Mm-hmm. Understand what it means to really have a moment. Meaning like it's your moment. When it's a pin drop and there are 1,000 people in the audience and you know, this doesn't move forward until I decide it moves forward. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear everyone's with you, they're like, yeah, what's next? Ain't nothing like that.
Yeah.
You can't really beat
true.
That.
Ooh, get goosebumps just thinking about that. Right?
Did you have it? You had those moments.
Yeah.
Tell me, describe it right now. Describe that moment.
I can't.
Why?
I only felt it.
You felt it?
I just felt it.
Fuck yeah.
And I don't even think it matters what size the stage is.
Absolutely.
Or how big the budget was. I mean, just to be a part of the creative process, just to be present, knowing and feeling that the audience was right there, witnessing everything that you were feeling, like nothing compares to that. I know. It's weird. You can only feel it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, on the highest of highs, like just that roller coaster of you know, from the beginning to the end, from the moment there is no moment like when you see those lights and you know that it's about to start.
And then it's
from when it closed. Yeah. And then it's just go. Like that's you on the roller coaster going up, 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 and then it lasts for as long as it, you know, the 2 hours. Yeah, that adrenaline. Mm.
I have a selfish question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think wrestling is theater?
Absolutely, wrestling is theater. I think wrestling is remarkable. I think there's so much, it can be so much more than what it is. I think it is, it's sports and theater perfectly blended. You have to be very athletic and very aware and in your body like a dancer. And you also have to be able to tell a story, like really tell a story. Mm. Like I really, really loved wrestling and studied it. And like the greats, they're just constantly storytellers. Even throughout their match, they're constantly telling a story. Like a big thing with wrestlers, as people know, is like if you can sell a move, that's part of telling the story. You know, if you can sell your opponent's move, give them that up and down. It's going this way. It's truly theatrical in that sense. And now watching it, I'm like, it's a soap. The good guys are the good guys. The heels, the faces, the faces. The heel comes out, insults the crowd. Everyone boos. It's like Romanesque in a way. They're selling out major stadiums, but everyone knows the chants. Everybody knows this is the good guy. That's the bad guy. It's truly this remarkable thing.
You sold wrestling a way that I've never heard.
If you really think about it, it's like a traveling circus, but people will go in like stadiums, sell out stadiums to watch men in tights like throw each other around. But they go for the story, the stories that created. We know that these two wrestlers don't really hate each other. It's all written and scripted and like, you know, never ending. A wrestler can be an asshole for 3 years and then they set it up in a way where he saves a good guy and everyone instantly is like, okay, we like him now.
Wow.
There's a beautiful thing about that where everyone's like, yeah, he's cool. Yeah, he's the good guy now. It's kind of nuts.
Huh.
In beautiful in that way. But yeah, I would say it's definitely theater.
Well, oh my God. Thank you. I feel like I got to know you a little more, but also I'm just feeling just inspired.
Yeah.
Right?
Fueled.
Fueled motivated. With,
motivation, focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so proud of you. I mean, I hope at some point we get to work together in another.
Shout out to you. Shout out to this human being.
Oh,
for your work on stage. Man, you went through some stuff on that damn show. And every day you showed up. You did the damn thing. And that is really, really incredible. Truly, truly incredible and inspiring. So I truly say, like, I'm on here because of you, because it's just perfect timing. It happened to me. And I was like, no, I just want to say congrats on this final season. Truly finish strong. And it's just kind of like, you are the anchor of this show. It's moved and there's all this madness and BS, but it truly is. It's like, I see you at the center of it. So I really see this as like, to you, finish strong. Like this is truly your journey, and like end it how you end it, and then be bloody done, and then go on do all the other things that you like. You know, you want to do and you can do, and you know, put the money away, so on and so forth.
Thank you. But
for real, like honestly, and I challenge. I'm sure you're doing this already. Do whatever you want. Truly, this last season, do whatever you want. Be like, I'm not saying that. Don't say it. Say whatever the hell you want to do.
Yep,
do it all 10 takes, and you'll get like, I'm not doing it differently.
Yeah.
You get it? You got it? Cool. You know, truly, because it's like you put in the work and it's just kind of like have a fucking blast.
Yeah, will do. Wow. Well, I love you so much. Thank you for coming in and, you know, chilling with us, chatting with us. Can't wait to see you on the next episode. Ogriete, another one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where can we find you? Are you even on social?
I am. Oak Smash is I'm only on Instagram. And that's it. I don't post you take a your lot.
Breaks. Yeah, you take your breaks here. You go on, you go off, you go
I go on, I go off, but I'm Oak like Smash. Informative and I'm very involved in many other things in the world and trying to help people. And we didn't even get to it. I'm working with Forbes BLK, Forbes Black, and working on like just elevating black theater through Forbes and whatnot. I'm on the advisory board. And there's summit for Forbes Black June. In Atlanta. So that's kind of what I'm doing I'm not here. Just
find out about that.
If you go to Forbes BLK, they have at Forbes BLK on Instagram. And on my socials, I tend to post things. I'm going to post more things and be more involved, but I'm trying to exercise that part of myself because I'm very passionate outside of theater. I brought a lot to Station 19. I was very much so like, you know, we have a responsibility to say and do certain things with this television show during George Floyd and all of that. And I think it's important. I think as an artist, if you have a platform, anyone, even all the influencers and TikToks and all that stuff, you have a platform. So I always believe even with artists, it's like heavy is the head. You are in an elevated position. So you got to think about what you say. Got to think about what you put out. Mm-hmm. No one's trying to silence your artistic spirit, your artistic creativity, but you don't have free reign to just do whatever the hell you're doing. You know, it based on your profession. It comes with certain things. If you want to do that, be a clerk at Walgreens and you can do whatever with no consequences because no one's really checking for you. But I truly do think if you do have that platform, just to put a little extra thought and think about, like, if you really wanted the world to move in a different way, like, what would you say? And if you don't want it and you don't care and you're trying to get yours, live your best life. No shade, all shade. But like, if you really, really do and you have a platform, just what are you saying? You know, mix in some other stuff. You want to put out a shirtless pic? Great. Now tag afterwards, talk about an organization you care about or a nonprofit that needs to, that needs some attention, you know, use that to elevate society. So it's not just inundated with consumerism and consumerism or look at this or look at me or look at me and look at that. Mm-hmm. It's like, look at me. Now that you're looking at me, look at this.
Yes.
Like what can you do?
What am I bringing? What am I doing?
To try and at least try it. I'm not saying you have to change your whole shit, but like try it for a couple posts.
That's
see what happens.
Definitely what you do.
I try to do.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in.
We have to stop.
And I know, right? We don't want to stop. He has to go. And we got to talk about all the other stuff that we can't share.
All the other things.
All right. Well, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
See you next episode.
Thank you so much. Bye, guys.
We did it.
Thank you for having me. That was great.